Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for soul growth. Come journey with us through astrology's energetic cycles and get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hello, yes. I think I'm going to come on in a moment, and I'm hearing Odie. There I am. Hey, happy St. Patrick's for those of you that have a little smidgen Irish, that want to be a smidgen, or else, whatever. But hey, it is a day, and I'm even wearing a shirt that I had bought for my husband, but it says Ireland. Enough of that. Today is March 17th, and we have a panel that's quarterly. It's a wonderful panel because there's a new kind of astrology out. It's vibrational astrology, and we'll give a little bit of a heads up about it. But it's energy because the world is energy. Einstein said it's energy, right? Nothing gets destroyed. It always comes back again. And the actual date isn't today, but it's in 2 days. Close enough for jazz, as they say. And I'm just seeing if there's anything else really momentous to share with you, except thank you so much for coming. We do love to share what we feel. They're such vital messages. And I think that's okay. We'll talk all about it as we go because we need all the time we can get. We are now ready for Good Vibrations panel.
Revealing fundamental core consciousness, manifesting through the lens of vibrational frequencies for the season's energetic theme, for the spring and autumn equinox, and the winter and summer solstice, this is your Good Vibrations panel.
I am Sue Rose Minahan, founder of Talk Cosmos since 2018, an evolutionary astrologer and student of vibrational astrology, a consultant, workshop facilitator, lecture speaker, writer, Dwarf Planet University graduate, charter member of Kepler Astrology Toastmaster Club, hold an AA degree and Associate of Fine Arts Music degree and Certificate of Fine Arts in Jazz. I'm an artist, musician, mythologist, and pursue esoteric philosophies.
I'm Robert Pizzetti, professional consulting astrologer and the visionary behind Deep Earth Astrology and the Deep Earth Astrology Tarot, a divination tool and teaching aid that integrates astrology, herbalism, and natural reverence. I specialize in vibrational and psychological techniques and infuse my practice with a deep connection to nature's spirituality. I'm currently the Grand Pendragon in the Ancient Order of Druids in America and the director of the Magus Gathering in Gore, Virginia.
And I'm Linda Berry. I hold a professional astrology certificate in vibrational astrology from the Avalon School of Astrology, as well as a Master of Science in Social Work and bachelor degrees in psychology, mathematics, and computer programming. I teach vibrational astrology courses in the School of the Astrology of Vibrational Energetics online. I created Frequency Finder, an add-on to Cosmic Pattern, Sirius, and Kepler software. Frequency Finder provides an in-depth astrological analysis of your astrology chart. As a vibrational astrology researcher, I moderate a vibrational astrology research group, am an international consultant, a published author, and the writer of a free daily blog, The Vibrational Astrology Diary.
As an ancient mathematician, Pythagoras' Music of the Spheres about vibrating stars and planets, the electrical engineer Nikola Tesla said,
"If you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration."
Again, we're going to come popping on in a second. Pardon the little bit of a regroup. There we go. Good.
Hello. Hello. Good to see you all.
Yes. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Welcome to a wonderful day.
Yes. Yes, it is. It truly is. I love it in every way. Well, let's jump right in. Odie, if we can have those slides, we won't leave a moment to spare. Good. Well, here we are once again. And these are the contacts. You can get a hold of Linda at her website, which is astrosleuth.com. Org.
.org, yeah.
Yes, thank you. And Rob Pacetti is deepearthastrology.com, and I'm at talkcosmos.com. So I'm giving just a little intro. Why vibrations? We look at the seasons. The equinox and the solstices have exact moments when the sun enters that degree. So as Linda has indicated, that is a sure deal that we can actually look at this multitude of vibrations. Humanity, we have to remember, since eons before the written word, which is, 5,000 years ago, but 10, 12,000 years ago, look at what they did. They're in Turkey, Göbekli Tepe, if I'm pronouncing that right. Those are monoliths that have symbolic hieroglyphs on them that are fascinating. People, it's an achievement. People were looking at the heavens. Why not? It's the only show in town at night, and it is our part of our birthright. So just to say, vibrations live. Pythagoras, more recent, but still a while back, 570 to 500, we don't know exactly, an ancient Greek mathematician philosophically came up with a model of a universe that there's a cosmic hymn because the planets are vibrating. And he is, if I'm correct, not Linda will, I'm asking to remind me, but the Fibonacci, I think he came up with the Fibonacci, yes? The geometric ratios and nature, which is the golden mean and just amazing realities that all kinds of brilliant minds such as Da Vinci, and who's an artist, as we all recognize, were studied and realized and contemplated and used. So just to quickly say, there's two much more current, wonderful geniuses that have great quotes that we can say. Nikola Tesla, who's a futuristic electrical engineer in the mid-1800s until the mid-1900s, defined the secrets of the universe. Think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration, such as we say at the very end of ours. And Max Heindel, who's a mystic and Rosicrucian founder and astrologer, about the same era, but didn't live quite as long, unfortunately. All things are in a state of vibration. Here, just for you to look at more closely, and I apologize, it says winter solstice, but it's still the same idea, that this is when the sun is right above the equator, so it's shining. There's really, essentially, you could say, not much of a shadow, and the light is even throughout the world. So what is vibrational astrology? It is evidence-based astrology. In other words, it uses thousands of charts in a database with the most precisely aspects that are wanting to be researched. I know it's very general, and if you are so inclined, you learn a lot more closely. Or else ask Linda in an email or go to various videos or take a class. But it begins to show, not begins, but it defines the core essence of that vibrational energy. And I might be saying something more, and I think Linda is going to reference this. These are the planets, I'm not going to go over them, and the luminaries that have the essential conceptual definitions. So for those people that are looking at this afterwards, you can get those concepts, which are very much aligned with what we know in other astrologies. So with that said, I thank you. This is, again, I think I'll pause there and stop. We'll continue with the rest of them with Linda's. Thank you, Odie.
Okay. The spring equinox. I think it's important for us to remember that it's only the spring equinox in the north, In the south, it's the fall. In the southern hemisphere, it's the fall equinox. It's a time when days and nights are of equal length, and we're either moving into greater light or into greater darkness. But we're definitely changing.
Yes. And when we talked last time, we were talking about, you know, the initiation of the light at the solstice. It's the very beginning of that point. And now, you know, we're kind of hailing to the east and waving to that light that is in its presence here. So one of the things, Linda, that I noticed between the winter solstice and now is that we were talking about planting those kind of intentions. At the winter solstice, there was a lot of vibrational astrology going on around that. And looking at, you know, what we're presenting today, it seems like, you know, there may be some unexpected things coming up from those intentions that we planted.
And you never know what the seed's going to sprout. You know, we are called at this time to balance our lives and to embrace this time of change. The days begin to get warmer or colder, and in all cases, balance leads to change. Here is the chart, and here is the timing, the 19th of March. It's really early this year because we had leap day. We had 29 days in February, and that pushes all the solstices and equinoxes earlier. So this is like the earliest time it's going to happen. Now, what happened here? Something went wrong. Well, we had the sun and moon trine at the winter solstice. Well, they're trine again this time, but this time we've got Pluto joining them. Pluto is opposed to the moon. Look at there. And this interaction involves Pluto and the moon get acted on by the sun over here and by Haumea over here. We saw Haumea at the winter. Well, this is really a critical opposition, and we've got a lot of action on it.
Just for people that don't work with Haumea, can you give a quick energy definition of how Haumea operates, Linda?
Haumea is a planetary body out there orbiting about the same distance and time as the Pluto and Eris. Well, no, Eris is different. At the same time as Pluto. However, they're kind of a little off. I mean, they're not hitting each other or anything, but they're in the general same time range and orbital
Neptunian in the orbit.
Okay, beyond Neptune. This is all beyond Neptune. Now, what Haumea means is Haumea was for the Hawaiians named after the a Hawaiian goddess called Haumea, who was able to give birth out of any part of her body. And when I did the research on Haumea, I found that it really does, the asteroid and the people that are involved with this asteroid, it really does have to do with birth and rebirth, extremely prolific output. And it seems to be a pattern that kind of seeks to rebirth things and make them work better and more positively. One of the biggest problems with it is that there's a lot of abundance there, and there's a lot of birth, and that means new things.
Perfect for spring, yes.
Yeah, it's lovely for spring. So because it means new things, it means changes, people that are allergic to changes are going to have problems with it.
Yeah, and if I might add, Haumea is also considered a dwarf planet these days. I know originally it was an asteroid, but she's really a dwarf planet.
Yes, thank you, Sue.
That's all right.
Okay. So the moon with Pluto is our deep subconscious patterns. Those are the things inside of us that we do automatically and maybe don't even really consciously realize what's going on. Well, with the sun on them here, it's going to bring them out into the open where we're going to see them.
It's always very powerful when there's an interaction between the sun and Pluto.
Yeah.
Very deep and very, very, very calling.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Haumea, birth or rebirth, often in abundance. Here we've got Haumea as a focus point between the moon and Pluto, equal distant from both of them, pointing to rebirth of our deeper levels of awareness.
It's an exciting.
And this is not just for us individually. Oh, sorry. This is a reworking of the deepest levels within for the world as a whole.
And if I might just add, I find this so powerful. I know I've been feeling this and working with it, you know, because the vibration just extends and it gets more intense. But Pluto in Aquarius, that the workings are just interconnecting with networks, you know, the old idea of, more so. It's not just my idea, but suddenly, as you bringing up the point that it's the world as a whole, other people are focusing on this. So it's really this collaborative fashion of groups and groups. It's quite incredible.
So we've got the moon, the individual expression of the person in Leo. And we've got Pluto in Aquarius with a compulsion to connect in networks.
We've got so much going on in the world right now that feels like it's at a stalemate. And it sounds to me like there's going to be a lot, especially with Haumea's influence, is kind of influencing new ideas. And just as you said, you know, if you're somebody who likes being comfortable, this is not going to be a great spring equinox for you. There's going to be some shift happening. There's going to be some new ideas happening. There's going to be some changes. And, you know, there's a lot of astrology to back that up right now.
Right. And if you're not willing to be real with yourself and look at what's there, both the beautiful parts and the ones that are not so beautiful. If you're not willing to be real with yourself, this pattern is going to bring the reality to you, folks. Okay, so this is amazing. At this time of balanced energy of the day and night, we have the opportunity to rework our deepest impulses. We get the chance to face ourselves and shift our understanding of ourselves and of life. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a brave and glorious time if we look at it that way, of just time to pull up your bootstraps and move along.
Right, right. Okay, so what do we have here? In addition to that pattern, we have a midpoint, a planet sitting at the middle between two other planets. One that's really strong in the basic spring equinox chart, and it's Mercury Saturn sitting with the sun sitting right in the middle of it. That equinox sun is sitting on it. And what does this tell us? It means that we're analyzing, attempting to figure out what is really fundamental within ourselves and in the events and reactions that are going to be coming over the 3 months of the spring.
And with that sun there, it's going to be a daily reminder.
It's a daily process of evaluation. Now, here's the amazing thing, is these three planets are also operating in vibration 20. And that's kind of technical, but just take my word for it. They're operating in vibration 20. And this brings an exploratory interactive analysis that seeks to develop an organic understanding inside of you of what's happening. And
I think that there's a little bit of creative freedom as well. Would you agree that there's a little bit of creative freedom that is being opened here?
Well, this is like creative action. And and it is freedom in the sense that it's the action that comes within you that you're going to go do, and you're not really paying attention to whether other people like it or not. So there's some freedom in
there. Yeah. Oh, very much so.
Now, there's another energy that this Sun, Mercury, Saturn is carrying. And this is 41. 41 has to do with analysis that bridges the gap between people and groups who do not currently seem to be connected. To bridge a gap of understanding, of feeling, of connection. And we could certainly use some of that at this point.
I hope some of that applies to the political landscape.
I think it does. I think that there's going to be a, for those who aren't so rigidly stuck that they're not willing to include anything beyond their, exactly their ideas. I think this implies an openness here, an analysis to figure out what do we have in common? What's really important to us that we all need to do, that and we all want to do.
I love this particular vibration, and it really encourages me to see that it's Mercury, Saturn, and Sun, such as you had indicated, Rob, that it's daily, but also that clarity of fundamental analysis. If we're going to share with other people that gap, it helps to have some facts that we can give with our TLC or give with of understanding. I've been doing that just lately with this. It's ringing bells, but this
okay.
is
okay. Now we have one big. Okay, there's also an isotrap here. With that's when two midpoints are conjunct each other. And look at that Mercury-Venus midpoint at 28 Pisces 48, the Sun-Neptune 28 Pisces 44. Wow.
Wow.
Isotrapes create two patterns, and that's a super strong vibration. You know, it was talking about, the introduction talked about how we're all vibrating. Well, this shows us some of the things that are coming in and impacting our vibrational pattern. All right. So this is about beautiful communication, about visions and dreams with two resonance patterns, clear thought about these visions and dreams, and the clear beauty of amazing visionary dreams. So we're focusing on thought and beauty involved with visionary dreams that have the potential to be expressed in the spring.
You know, when I just reading all of that together, the word that came to mind was hope, hopefulness, and yeah. You know, and that's a great thing right now.
And there are actually two patterns here that use three of the same planets. This involves Venus, Neptune, and the Sun are in both of these. I circled the lines for the ones that are common to both patterns. So this is two isotrapes woven in together, creating an even bigger harmonious resonance.
Sounds like the ocean. Yes,
it is almost. This greatly strengthens our focus on the beautiful dreams that are developed every day. And here is that second blue isotrap that is just weaving in with the orange one. And it brings a sense of spiritual seeking. Mm-hmm. The beauty of moving into a more spiritual way of operating on a daily basis.
Just a very brief commentary on that. I mean, I work with, you know, spiritual orders and such, and just the amount of people that have been flocking to alternative, less structured forms of spirituality over the past few months has been mind-blowing.
Mm, I love it. Thank you.
Now, do we have the time for me to do one more slide?
Sir? Yes, we do. We have, okay. Yes.
After the break, we're going to be talking about the biggest vibration in the lower ones we're likely to feel, the biggest vibration in the spring equinox, and it's 28, and 28 is a really challenging vibration. Your actions are driven by your internal understanding of the world. This can have almost nothing to do with what is actually happening in the world. You can form this story and this belief system inside of yourself that has practically no relationship to what's around you. This is your internal pattern. It's composed of your beliefs about life, and that may or may not reflect what's around you. When you have your act, and in 28, You are taking action based on these internal beliefs and seeking to force it on the world, being willing even to do violence if necessary to accomplish your goal.
Lead on. We have two minutes. Yeah, we're listening.
For others, Vibration 28 is about them having formed an internal structure that they test against the events in the world around them, and then they take action accordingly, aware of how they're impacting what's around them. So Vibration 28 is not always totally unaware. It has to do with the way the particular person has structured their internal structure. We make choices in how our internal structure is set up. But what Vibration 28 implies in this case is these different kinds of 28 patterns seem to be about to confront each other.
Well, it's a good thing that what Rob, you're sharing is that there's more interest in spiritual perception. Go ahead. What were you going to add, Rob?
Oh, I'm glad that we're seeing things like Haumea, because I think it's going to kind of release some structures that we were tied to. And, you know, maybe those Vibration 28 energies are going to, you know, result in some good things as well. Not necessarily what we've been seeing for the past, you know, 8 years, 12 years.
Okay, this is Vibration 28. And we have the Sun opposing Mars, Jupiter, which brings the likelihood of big actions. So what kind of big actions? Well, you've got this big collection of planets over here that are all interacting with each other. We've got Venus, Pluto, Haumea, Jupiter, and Mars. What do we have? Big actions that are obsessed with bringing a rebirth of beauty into the world. We had Haumea focused in the natal chart. And here it is again, really, really strong.
Oh, Linda, this is just gorgeous. Now, if we could pause here, if this is good for you.
This
left on a positive note saying, get ready. Those little crops that we planted, like Rob, you said, are going to be birthing. Well, this is very exciting. So thank you. We'll be right back with Good Vibrations with Linda Berry and Rob Pacetti. While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We are currently in the yin period of Pisces, ruled modernly by Neptune and by Jupiter in traditional astrology of the ancients. By leaving a cycle based on the equality of all humans and brilliancy, Pisces concludes the 12 signs that energetically encompass the entirety of the universe where humans have no control. As a mutable water sign represented by two fish swimming in opposite directions of the forces of life, we experience in Pisces the collective unconscious energy of the unknown. Intuitive, psychic Pisces completes the seed cycle, initiated with Aries' willful separation from the Piscean womb.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen at HealingMinistryForAnimals.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, March 24th, it's an extra Sunday, and as promised, we'll spend more time with Merritt and Beth Clifton of Animals24-7.org. We'll get a chance to catch up on all that's going on with animals all over the world. Hope you can join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Talk Cosmos brings insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for the soul growth with hour-long programs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and Facebook page. While you're there, make sure you click the like and subscribe buttons so you get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers.
And to find out about upcoming programs, sign up for the newsletter at talkcosmos.com. So grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
Be sure to support the sponsors of your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150.
Higgity, we're back. Well, Odie, if we can get those slides, and we'll do our little middle part here. Thank you. Nope, with mine. Please, back with mine again, right? Okay, there we are. Because we have Linda Berry, and this, you can, as she has said, this is her bio, but Linda has a school of astrology that, and has a class. Linda, you want to tell a little bit about your class coming up in?
Basically, I teach people how to do vibrational astrology, what kind of shifts they have to make in their way of thinking to embrace this amazing pattern that goes deeper than anything else I've ever seen in astrology. And I've got like over 50 years experience.
And many credits is very true. It's astounding. So that's a school of astrology, of vibrational energetics, but you can find it at astrosleuth.org.
Yeah.
And Linda Berry also, here it is, it's the founder of that school.
Okay, so let me just make a real quick comment, Sue.
Please.
My new class of students starts the 1st of June, the first week of June. So you need to write me before that and talk to me if you want to become know about becoming a student.
Okay. And that would be, I think I have your email
address. Linda at astrologicaldepth.com.
Yes, that was your first wonderful, resourceful website that has a lot about the trans-Neptunians along with Haumea. So, and last but not very important, this, tell us about your diary.
Okay. Well, first of all, that's that email address. And the diary I put out daily, it's based on the patterns in the sky and which vibrations are focused that day and which planets are the most strongly focused through the vibrations. And it reports also about pairs of planets. It has a section on the Sabian symbols for what's going on. It's a pretty comprehensive daily report of what's going on in the whole earth, because this applies to the whole earth.
It is totally, the words are escaping me today, and I apologize, insightful, because you also carry, since I receive it, it carries through this particular one, like we will have a spring equinox, so Linda has information about it. You can review and internalize. How is that approaching? How is that feeling?
Yeah, and all the new moons and full moons and all of that. Eclipses.
One more report. Go ahead.
Yes. And after I did this, which applies to everybody, and I put out free, it's my gift to the universe. It bothered me that I couldn't give something to people. I couldn't have something for people that was specific to them and how these events were affecting them. And I figured out an economical way to do that. And it uses the Sabian symbol patterns and how they particularly key into you for each new moon, each full moon, and other significant events like the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction or the solstices and equinoxes. All of that you get for just $20 a month.
Thank you.
Very much worth it. And for those that are interested in joining the school, I will highly endorse Linda as a teacher.
Me too. I know. It grows on you. It's like you can't get away. It's like, oh my goodness, this is so truthful. And it resonates. It operates. Now, Rob Pacetti, here is his information and at Deep Earth Astrology. And I noticed that, because I had forgotten to ask you, but I do know that you've got the Green Egg magazine, a wonderful article.
Yes. I've been doing some more nature spirituality focused articles for the Green Egg magazine, working with Oberon over there. It's been great. I'm also working with wonderful watercolor artist Dana O'Driscoll on putting together this Deep Earth Astrology Tarot, which kind of, mm-hmm. it it merges with, you know, nature, spirituality, astrology, and, you know, the hero's journey. And it's very exciting. And, you know, it's going to be coming out soon and we're excited about it.
Oh, I have to have one.
Yeah, you will get one.
Oh, thank you. Now, here, and this is about myself, the three of us are going to be participating about a wonderful event coming up on Tuesday, just 2 days from now. And it's through East West Books, which is part of Ananda. Yogananda came over in the 40s. And since then, there's been this East West Books as part of that legacy. And this will be about actually a large number of us, and I have them listed here. We're all going to be speaking about the idea of how we're looking at the spring equinox, but it's World Astrology Day, and also about the light within and how it's the light returning and a healing process. So it's very exciting. So go to eastwestseattle.org. And you can sign up for that. You'll get a recording because it will be in the middle of the day on Pacific time at 2:30 to 3:30. So for people with KKNW, you're right there in homeland. But for the
okay, 2:30 to 5:30.
It is in Pacific time, 2:30 to 5:30. Correct. I probably said something wrong. Thank you, Linda. And so for East Coast, it'll be 5:30 to 8:30. And do either of you have a comment about that? I know you'll both be there.
I'm excited.
It'll be very inspiring.
I think so.
Yes.
So here we are. And then we have a playlist. You can always go to Talk Cosmos. And we thank you very much. And that's the end of me. Let's get back to Linda. Thank you.
Okay. Odie. Now, what does Vibration 28 have for us? The first thing is, Pluto is conjunct Haumea. And I may have mentioned this before the break. This means that the spring will involve an obsession with rebirth of the internal patterns within us that are driving our actions. So this is a rethinking of ourselves. Now, okay, but what else? Look at these orange lines here. Down here at the bottom, it's hard to see, but that's Eris and Uranus. Up here at the top is Jupiter and Mars, and they are quincunx each other.
Okay.
Quincunxes bring something where you, in transits like this, they do a little more than this in the natal chart, but in transit patterns like this, they call for us to make adjustments in our behavior patterns. So what is this one about? Taking big actions to move out of a cycle of exclusion into a cycle of inclusion. Eris says Eris isn't nice enough to say we can. Eris says we must become inclusive, or we will find ourselves being excluded in the same ways that we are excluding others. And let me tell you, folks, Eris does not mince her words. Eris was responsible for the Trojan War because people weren't being inclusive.
It was, what a story, the Odyssey. And Eris, I have her right on my north node. And yeah. Inclusion is and both. It's the whole dynamics of what we're working for. And it does require adjustments because you have to think of a symphony of sounds.
So it's like, we have to join together at this time for the sake of all of us. We have to join together with those that we might actually really disagree with on some things. Find the common bedrock that we all share. And that's what we need to operate out of. That's more important than the little differences between one person and another.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the things that people are seeing is that we have a lot more in common right now than we do different. And there, you know, and that is really going to be the crux that pushes this forward, I think.
I think that's what may, just keep your fingers crossed, may save us.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Now, there is a big pattern of resonances in 28. Remember, We are resonant beings. We are vibratory beings. And when something comes and really speaks loudly, it affects the way we resonate. It affects the way we experience life. And this is the start of this. It's a very large pattern, and we'll build it step by step. First, we have this big string. These planets are all equal distance from each other. If you go on this line, it's like beads on a string, folks. And this is about, this is Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus, Mercury, and Neptune. And this is about idealized thoughts that call for inclusive ideas, bringing a compulsion to attract beauty into our lives. Now, what's interacting with it? Okay, first of all, these gold lines at the end are also equidistant. These two gold lines here are resonating with this gold line over here. So we got two kinds of resonances here. And this is Mercury interacting with Venus, Pluto, and Neptune interacting with Eris, Uranus. Oh my goodness. This involves sharing beautiful thoughts of sensitivity and awareness, realizing the importance of moving from exclusive thought patterns to inclusive thought patterns.
One of the things that kind of strikes me right here is that, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to want to kind of move to that more inclusive thoughts. But those two polarities that we've been dealing with are not going to want to let those people go. You know, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of struggle to get to that place. It's not going to be an easy separation from these foundational thoughts that have been holding us.
Okay.
But summer solstice might save. Yeah. I have another. We'll wait and see.
Okay. So this energy is being born within our internal awareness. And it's coming into our lives big time. Mm-hmm. We're going to feel the need to do this. Okay, now that there's a... I missed a slide. Let me go back. Okay, now there's this big blue line. This is what in astrology we call a T-square. And this is, I'm not sure it's a T. I don't think that is an opposite. Yes, it is. Is that an opposition?
Yeah, that's an opposition. That's
okay. All right. So the moon Saturn is at the midpoint of Mercury and Uranus. Okay. So what are we talking about here? First, moon Saturn is about being responsible with your feelings and your emotions. To recognize what it's not worth getting upset about. You know, don't mess with the small stuff. Okay, so this moon Saturn is about, is this something that's going to still bother you a year from now, 2 years from you, 5 years from now? Or is this something that 5 minutes after you feel it, you won't even remember what it was? Mm-hmm. If it's something that you're not going to remember in 5 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, let it go. It doesn't really matter. Work with the things that have a long-term, deep significance. And this, in each moment in the cycles, weigh it against how important it really is. How much is it worth it? So,
that's wisdom. Thank you.
Okay, so we can change our internal worldview to embrace a cycle of inclusion. Okay, I already did that. All right. Now, the final part, the purple part. This is another midpoint pattern. And this involves Saturn, Pluto, and Mercury, which is analysis of our emotional patterns and figuring out what, again, is really vital and foundational. And then Mars, Jupiter here says taking big actions based on our answers. So we are challenged here to figure out what is really core, what is the essential structure of our lives, what do we really stand for, What do we want our lives to be like? We must remember that what we do to others will be done to us.
Kindness is key.
Sage, the sage advice, what goes around comes around, but yes, we're do unto others as do to ourselves.
It's basic in every religion in the world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes, it is.
Okay. So at this time of balance and change, we need to re-examine our internal view of life and the world. There's a potential here for a rebirth in our lives and in our world. Will we move out of exclusive actions that devalue those around us, and in the process devalue ourselves? Will we include all people of good intent in our communities and embrace them in our world? Now, the Sabian Symbol lessons for the spring, folks. Are you ready?
Very important.
I am.
Okay, now remember, this. The rest of what I've been doing is vibrational astrology, but this is not. This is the Sabian symbol patterns I've developed. There's a book coming out sometime in the next year or so where I've written all about them and how I do them. Here we have, oh dear, I still had a couple of planets.
And if I might just quickly add, this supports the whole idea of people increasingly understanding and resonating with spirituality. Because these do symbolize.
Okay, that A to S means sun to moon, folks. It's a code. Okay, so the basic level for the sun to the moon, the interaction between them, is a very interesting symbol. It's four of Leo, a man formally dressed, and a deer with its horns folded. This is about using formalized structures to guide your interactions with others in order to gain control of your more primitive aggressive instincts. You know, being polite, even if you want to yell and scream down inside, that kind of thing. Or if you're not willing to gain control of these primitive aggressive instincts, then you may start to displaying power and dominance, intimidating others to show them that you have the ability to harm them if you want to. So there's a choice here.
Very much an equinox message as well. I mean, there's kind of that balance point, you know, which way do we go?
Yep. So by next time, I hope to have all of those little code symbols out of here. I tried to get them all out this time.
StreamYard, just to have our audience realize that the format we use doesn't seem to include those. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, they're missing. The font's missing for them.
And we're improving. Things are going on. Yes.
We're working on making it as clear as we can. Okay, now the second symbol is the sole intention of the spring equinox. And the symbol for it is an automobile caravan. This is a beautiful double message. You're moving with others toward a common goal, but you maintain your individual focus and perceptions. And then you coordinate with others during the process. So you get to be with working with others, but you still get to honor what you are. Now, the danger here, the warning, is about getting swept up in the aims and promises of others and forsaking your own pattern to follow theirs. That you don't want to do, but you don't have to. You can beat yourself and you can still recognize it's important to coordinate with others on common goals.
Isn't this very close, actually, when we think about the nodal axis that we're in, Libra with the south node and Aries, so that this dovetails, I think it supports that message of
Okay, and the third symbol, the spirit wisdom. Wait, I lost it. It went too far. Here it is. The spirit wisdom for the spring. The symbol is an old man attempting vainly to reveal the mysteries. Now, you have to realize that some of the symbols show the negative side of something rather than the positive side of it. That's just the way the symbols are. And in this case, the positive expression of this is starting to work on the issues within you that are keeping you from making connection into the greater mysteries. That's the call here. That's the potential with the rebirth, with working on the deep levels within you. That's the potential in the spring. If you don't work on these deep issues within you, you may start feeling trapped, powerless, and impotent because you're not clearing the things that block you from the deeper energies. And so you end up with this sense of being trapped, powerless, and impotent, or you don't even consider that you might be able to change something. You know, in one sense, all we have is ourselves, and we can always work with and change ourselves if we are willing to face what's within us and realize that we are not a finished project. We are a growing, evolving awareness. And it doesn't matter what we've been, we can do something that is more aware now.
It seems to me like there's a unifying message between both the vibrational and the Sabian symbol, and that is that we all kind of maybe feel a little bit trapped, powerless, and impotent right now. We have the opportunity to connect to the collective unconscious, get back into a space of unification, but we're going to have these things that are going to want to kind of tie us down, and we have to be able to break free.
Okay, so here's a summary of the opportunities. To use rigid formal structures to guide your interactions with others so that you control your more primitive aggressive instincts. To move with others toward a common goal while continuing to maintain your individual focus and perceptions, coordinating with others during the process. And to start to work on the issues within you that are keeping you from making connections into the greater mysteries. Pitfalls. To get into displaying your power and dominance, seeking to intimidate others. Anytime you see somebody trying to intimidate others, that's a big red flag. That's a warning. Showing them that you have the ability to destroy them if you wish to. Remember that operating this way, intimidating others, operating out of power and dominance, really comes from insecurity. That's not strength. That's weakness.
Very true.
To get swept up in the aims and promises of others, forsaking your own path to follow theirs. Another big warning, don't do that. Be true to yourself. To feel trapped, powerless, and impotent, unable to even consider that you might be able to make a change in the world. And let me tell you one last thing. When we make a change in ourselves, we make a change in the world because we're all connected, folks. Thank you for being here with us this day. May spring bring rebirth and the flowering of new life within you.
Very
nice.
And
I love that art. Yes, thank you. Tears are welling for joy, for whatever. Thank you.
The last thing we want at the spring equinox is a stagnant energy. And I think that we've been feeling that for quite a while. And, you know, this message is very hopeful that enough of us will be able to come together, put things maybe aside that need to be let go and work towards, you know, a better future for all of us.
There's always choice, isn't there? And as you had indicated right now at the equinox, when it's that moment of equality, we get to choose yay or nay.
Yeah, and let me say one more thing. Not only in the United States, but around the world, in the late 1700s, there was a surge of independence. There was a surge of desire for freedom. There was an upflowing of new possibilities. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, and other patterns. This happened all over the world at that time. That was when we discovered, that was before we discovered Pluto, actually. But Pluto was a major force in that. And here is, we just had Pluto come back to where it was at that time. We just had Pluto return to that place. And when something returns, you have an echo of the old pattern.
Yes, so indeed.
This is a time when we all have to fight for our freedom, for a good life, the same way we had to do in the late 1700s when we stood against forces of oppression.
Yes.
Yes. And Uranus was just discovered at that time, too, meaning that sense of immediacy.
Well,
of now.
Uranus was discovered at that time. Pluto wasn't discovered till later. Yeah. But Pluto was all
However, for the United States, it has that return. And I agree. It's a whole process. An incubation, we could think of. And when you think of anything incubating, like bacteria, for instance, which is everywhere, primal amoebas and all of that, it's prolific, just like Haumea with birth. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that what evolves, if we could say, with evolution, would be of getting along. The golden mean is big. You know, it's like what attracts you and to be a little honey instead of vinegar, right?
This is our opportunity to move to the next level.
And I think the one action that we can all take right out of the gate is what Linda was talking about with the Saturn moon. Let the little things go. Let the little things go.
You both have been just so powerful. I keep this a mantra through the whole season. And I'm so glad now we have Action City. It's like good, not just observing stories. Thank you. And everybody come join us on World Astrology Day. That would be with eastwestseattle.org. And thank you, Linda Berry. And thank you, Rob Pacetti.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Okay. And happy St. Pat's for those.
Thank you for joining an insightful conversation on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests awaken consciousness by connecting soul growth patterns with astrology's energetic cycles. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.